The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. With the ideal comes the actual. Somebody asked me to talk about this. Many of us are very familiar with this expression. I feel like I'm in a tin box. Am I in a tin box? Maybe that sounds better. Is that better? Yeah, thank you. This is a line from the Sandokai that we recite often at morning service. With the ideal comes the actual, like a box or with its lid. With the ideal comes the actual, like two arrows in midair that meet. And then it says, completely understand herein the basic truth within these words. So it's important, you know, the basic truth here. With the ideal comes the actual. Sometimes we see this in a somewhat humorous light, you know. We're trying to do something and it doesn't work out as we'd hoped. With the ideal comes the actual, you know. Just like today. I was working on this talk, I got the time wrong, suddenly there's a chaplain at the door and I'm not ready, so I had to finish it up, print it out, run out of paper, get more paper, you know, all this. I just thought, this is classic, with the ideal comes the actual, there you are doing your talk, and suddenly there's daily life, just like life. And it kind of puts things in perspective, and you think, well, with the ideal comes the actual, here we are, it's all just together like this, it's never going to be perfect. Things go wrong, the unexpected happens, and it's fine. We just deal with it and go on. And it also means that what actually happens may be just what we need. With the ideal comes the actual. With the actual comes the ideal, in a sense. You get this thing happen, things don't turn out as we'd hoped, and we see that we've been holding on to some unrealistic expectation. And we let it go, with any luck. Or we might get sick, and our illness gets our attention. And we have to realize we have to do things differently. Our values change, our goals shift, because we can't do things the way we used to. Life teaches us wisdom, in a word. You know, we just realize things more important than my little agendas. But really, this expression, or this phrase, with the ideal comes the actual, goes a lot deeper than that as well. Sandokai, the scripture it comes from, the word means, Rama Master never translated it, she didn't want to translate it, but some people do. And it's sometimes translated as the song of the one and the many, I rather like that, or the harmony of difference and sameness, meaning the ideal and the actual, the difference and the sameness, the many things and the one great thing are completely together, intertwined, just like this. You can't have one without the other. Now, the ideal doesn't mean what we think it means. It's not some kind of pinnacle of perfection that we're trying to get to. Something that we aspire to in this mundane world. It actually points to something beyond our mundane world. And yet is very much within it. With the ideal comes the actual, this very world we live in, and that which is greater, the ideal, the absolute, however you want to put it. And that's the basic teaching of this scripture, the Sandokai, that the truth is right here, right now, within our daily life, not somewhere else that we're trying to get to. Very, very helpful and essential to our practice, actually. So here's our quote again. With the ideal comes the actual, like a box or with its lid. With the ideal comes the actual, like two arrows in midair that meet. The box and its lid fit perfectly together. You need both to have a box that contains things and they don't all just fall out and get lost. The box with its lid. Both needed together. If you had just the box with no lid, well, it'd be all right, but it's not the same as having something you can cover it up with. And the lid itself, without a box, is not going to do much good. two arrows meeting in midair. That's a common metaphor you find for a skill that goes beyond the ordinary. It means you have two archers, archers, shooting arrows from opposite directions, and how somehow they manage to make their arrows meet in midair. Well, I don't think anybody could actually do that. It's like an impossible thing. But life does sometimes do that. It gives us exactly the thing we would need, and we could never figure that out. You know, we do not have that kind of skill to make the arrows meet in midair. This thing needing something, and this thing it meets, this comes to meet it, whether it's for what we want or what we'd rather not have, but something that actually is exactly what we need. We couldn't figure that out, but somehow life does that. Sometimes we just get exactly what we need in unseen ways. Well, with the ideal comes the actual, and our present world seems anything but ideal. It's full of suffering, problems, and awfulnesses. And the actual, well, what is happening, is right in our face. So how do you reconcile the ideal and the actual? How do you do that when you see all the suffering and all that? It's not a matter of just dismissing things and saying, oh, well, everything's fine, it's ideal, I just need to sit and have a quiet mind. It's easy to say that when you're not suffering a whole lot. Maybe just a little discomfort. But actually, it's not the way, it's not the intention to just sort of blow things off and say, oh, well, it's all fine, you know. That's not the thing. The Buddha didn't do that. He would actually treat people with great kindness as they came to him. He doesn't just say, well, just sit, everything will be fine. He would give people really good, specific advice about their lives, whether they were, you know, housewives, monks, kings, farmers. He would give them, he would help them with their life. He didn't just say, oh, just sit and it'll go away, or don't bother about it. But we can also step back a little and allow our view to widen, to embrace the bigger picture, which embraces all of that. Because the Buddha did that too. He had a very deep and wide view within which all these little things would take place. This world is the world of samsara, the world of wandering, which is what apparently samsara means. It's also called the world of patient endurance. And we know why, because often we have to endure things patiently. It's always been like this. It's not like it's suddenly, you know, it's all been fine and now suddenly it's awful. It's always been hard to live in this world in one way or another. And the suffering itself teaches us how to do things differently, how to have compassion. We make horrible mistakes, we learn something, you know. The world may have always been this way, it's always been a world of suffering, but individual beings learn to do better. They learn to kind of learn from their mistakes. You do something dumb, you learn something, you do better next time. And I think, I'm sure this is so, but you might not be obvious because we see this world of awfulness, but individual beings learn. We learn. We have learned. Some of us are probably a little wiser than we were a few years back or many years back. We learn compassion. We learn wisdom. It might take a long time. We might keep sliding back and make mistakes. And yet we do learn. Beings learn. Even ones who seem to be doing terrible things eventually learn to do better. I'm sure they do. The suffering itself teaches us. You're not a happy person if you're going around slaughtering people. You're really not. And eventually you have to think, what am I doing? You know, even if you have some ideal you're trying to live up to or something you think is great, some great cause, you know it's not right. You know, many people in prison, you know, look back at the things they did and say, I wish I could do that, you know, have that time again so I wouldn't do this. They learn something. They can actually be kind to others too and help them not to fall into those ways. Not everybody, but people do, and I think everybody eventually learns. Because suffering does teach us. In our own lives we see this. We've made mistakes, we've caused suffering, and we learn to do better. And if you really could see with the eye of Buddha, maybe we could see that actually everything is fine in the ultimate sense. It's not to be dismissive and uncaring of everything's just fine, as I said, but it means sitting still in faith in the midst of all the conditions of our lives and our world. Sitting still in faith in the midst of that. Terrible things are done. Maybe we'll learn something, both as individuals and as a species. Maybe human beings will learn something. You never know, we might just learn something. I would hope so, as a species. As individuals we do, I think, but humanity doesn't seem to be doing great. I don't know. The Dhruva Master used to say, Ramataji used to say, sometimes the sanity level in the world goes down. She was thinking of World War II. And then it comes back up again. You know, things don't stay the same, they change. The pendulum goes back and forth. Nothing stays the same forever. The balance shifts, which is an encouraging thought. It doesn't just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Although sometimes you wonder, but it does actually change. And people change, we change. So, with the ideal comes the actual, the one and the many, the absolute and the relative, all is one and all is different. These all mean the same thing. There are many ways to describe it. You need both the ideal, like the absolute as it were, and the actual, the daily life, the box with its lid. They work together perfectly, and you can't have one without the other. You can't just live in the ideal. All is one, you know. You'll eventually run into the wall. Because to try to do that, you're seeing with only one eye. You're not seeing the whole picture. Just saying, oh, everything's fine. It's not, actually, in many ways. And yet, who knows? Living in the world of human beings and other animals, all the conditions of our lives, we can't ignore it, you know. We can't pretend it's not there. It's all very much there. Other beings, us, our suffering, their suffering, old age, sickness and death, all the stuff that happens. And neither can we live in the all is different. Everything is just the little details of our lives and there's nothing more than that. We need to remember the bigger picture, the great matter, that for which we train, Buddha nature, however you want to call it, within which all of this takes place. It all takes place within that great thing. You need both. Otherwise you just get lost in the details, just get drowned in the delusive world, pulled back and forth by all the little things that happen to us. And we might despair and forget to look up and see the great sky that embraces all of it, the great benevolence that embraces us all our stuff, all our mistakes, all our foolishnesses, all the horrible things that happen. There's something that embraces all of it. And we need to bear that in mind so we don't lose sight of that and just drown in the details of life. Nowadays, it seems there's an awful lot of talk about Buddhism not really being a religion. You know, secular Buddhism. I just want to have a, you know, quiet life. As one of our dear monks said, our job is to learn to awaken from the dream, not just to make a nicer dream. Something to bear in mind. To remember the great benevolence, the great matter that permeates everything and embraces everything. Not to lose sight of that no matter how bad things may seem to be, because it is all right there together. And this truth embraces everything. The harmony of the one and the many. All is one and all is different. It's vital. It's the fabric of our life, actually. The ideal and the actual, completely together. This is our very life. This ideal, the actual, the all is one and the all is different, all of it. And as the scripture says, completely understand herein the basic truth within these words, because they're really profound. Well, we've just recited the Shushogi. And as it says, The life of this one day, today, is absolutely vital life. It's the only life we have, the only day we have, the only moment we have, right now. Absolutely vital life. This is it. This is our life. It's not somewhere else. Right here, with the ideal and the actual. To accept it completely, just as it is. Our little cat bawling outside, and here we are doing the Dharma talk. You know, it's all just there together. All the little problems and the joys and the difficulties, all of it right there together. And it's the manifestation of the life of Buddha. It's the very thing. It's not something separate. It's all right there together for us. So this is our life of Buddhist practice. Our meditation, our keeping of the precepts, our patient acceptance of things as they are, as we best can, doing the best we can to deal with the many things that come our way, to practice compassion and wisdom in the midst of it all, and at the same time, to know that it is all part of the great matter. We and everything that we do, say, think, experience, remember, everything, within this very moment, is all embraced within the great matter, the life of Buddha. The life of this one day, today, is absolutely vital life. It's what we have, and it has everything we need, right there. Nothing missing, nothing gone. No matter what it feels like, sometimes it's horrible, sometimes it's lovely, sometimes it's just normal. It doesn't matter. It's all part of that great thing, all there, right together. And that's our talk for the day.